The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Spring Arts Guide 2023. Black creativity is everywhere, and no matter the moment, Black artists continue to document our history and manifest abundant visions of the future. What better way to revel in this ingenuity than to experience it firsthand? This spring, a slew of survey exhibitions, site-specific installations, and solo presentations will blossom nationwide, each of them offering insight into the careers and practices of the world's most prominent and promising artists. Here's Essence, National Guide to Black Art This Spring. New York City, Black Power Naps. Through April 16th at the Museum of Modern Art, the politics of rest and Black people's scientifically proven lack thereof inform this interactive installation by artists Neville Acosta and Fanny Sosa. Bob Thompson, April through July 2023. At 52 Walker, with the support of Mega Gallery owner David Swerner, 52 Walker and its founder Ebony Haynes shifted the art world's pace when the space opened in late 2021. For its seventh presentation, the gallery will welcome visitors into the world of the late painter Bob Thompson. Lauren Halsey, April 18th through October 22nd. At the Met Fifth Avenue, Los Angeles, native Halsey brings her vision of South Central LA and ancient Egypt to the Met's rooftop through a large-scale, site-specific installation. Nick Cave, For Other More, through April 10th. At the Guggenheim, For Other More surveys the intricate work of textile and installation artist Cave, whose signature sound suites strike a delicate balance between fashion, design, and visual art. Solange, Sadie Smith, and more. Spring 2023 at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. On the heels of her fall premiere as a composer for the New York City Ballet, Solange is back to program a series at the Brooklyn Academy of Music this spring. Other BAM highlights include the 46th Annual Dance Africa Festival and Zadie Smith's debut play, The Wife of Will Less Than. California, Henry Taylor, B-side, through April 30th at MoCA, Los Angeles. Taylor's unapologetic vision is celebrated in this survey exhibition, featuring 30 years of paintings, sculptures, and drawings that offer a unique take on contemporary American life and society. Kehinde Wiley, An Archaeology of Silence, March 18th through October 15th. At the DeYoung Museum, San Francisco. World-renowned painter, Wiley captures one of the most challenging eras of Black American life in 26 monumental-sized works created amidst the COVID-19 pandemic and the resurgence of Black Lives Matter movement. Chicago, Gio Suave, Fresh Up, April 8th through July 3rd, at the Art Institute of Chicago, Bohemian textile artist Suave's life-size portraits take center stage in her first museum solo show. Suave explores Black womanhood through embroidery, creating subtle but potent depictions of her sitters. Houston, Ming Smith, Feeling the Future, May 26th through October 1st, at the Contemporary Arts Museum, Houston. for the artist's first solo exhibition at a major museum, Feeling the Future sweeps Smith's career from the 1970s to the present day, and features 5 decades of intimate portraits drawn from the lives of Black Americans. Boston, Simone Lee, April 6th through September 4th at ICA Boston, following her triumphant takeover as the first Black woman to represent the United States Pavilion at the 2022 Venice Biennial. Lee is headed to Boston for her first survey exhibition, spanning 2 decades of works that put Black female subjectivity and history at the center. Nationwide, Allen Ailey American Dance Theater 2023 tour through May 14th. If you missed the wonders of the Alvin Ailey tour in 2022, prepare to be transformed this year. The iconic dance company is the epitome of Black genius, carrying its late founder's namesake into the future. The next article is titled Young, Gifted, and Black, inspired by the artistic legacies of Lorraine Hansberry and Nina Simone. These 10 creative leaders under 30 are working to deepen the impact of Black cultural production across visual arts, film, and beyond. Camille Bacon, writer and critic, 24 years old, Chicago is her hometown. Bacon is pushing the boundaries of transitional arts criticism. The Chicago native's unflinching voice has helped record for posterity conversations around Black abstraction and the avant-garde. Her thoughts have appeared in Frieze, Cultured Magazine, Studio Magazine, and more. Sierra Britton, curator, founder of Sierra Britton Gallery, 26 years old, Baltimore, Maryland is her hometown. Maryland-born curator Britton made history when she opened New York's first ever art gallery dedicated to BIPOC WOMX artist, spelled BIPOCWOMXN. After a successful 3-month run on Manhattan's Lower East Side, Britton has big plans for establishing the gallery's nomadic model. Her work as a gallerist is informed by an innate desire to tell stories and work alongside young and emerging artists. Maya S. Cade, film scholar, founder of the Black Film Archive, 29 years old, hometown is New Orleans. Through her archival practice, Cade is thinking critically about the internet and working to change the conversation about Black films online. As an act of love for Black people and a desire to deepen public knowledge about our cinematic impact, the Howard alum built and launched the Black Film Archive in August of 2021. The collection spans films from the late 1800s to the 1980s and is home to more than 300 works, accompanied by trailers and deeply researched descriptions written by Cade. Denise Stephanie Hewitt, photographer, 20 years old, New York City is her hometown. At 17, Hewitt made history when she shot for Marie Claire magazine. That accomplishment set a precedent for the Brooklyn-born creative, producer, and artist as she continues to make serious waves in editorial photography and visual art. Justin Leroy, artist and musician, creator of Sun, 28 years old, from Los Angeles. Sound, cinema, and soul collide in Leroy's multidisciplinary practice. Before making his mark as a contemporary artist, the native of LA's Crenshaw neighborhood was integral to the Underground Museum's success. Leroy is also the mind behind Sun, a platform to showcase the beauty and complexity of Black male identity. Seth Rogers, creative director, co-founder of Sandman Company, 29 years old. Houston is his hometown. See a need, meet a need is the guiding principles for Rogers, director and co-founder of Houston's creative hub, Sandman. The company, which takes its name and mission from a youth mentorship program founded by the leader's father in the late 1990s, is strengthening the creative infrastructure by providing space and opportunities to emerging artists. Kendra Walker, art advisor, founder of the Black Art Experience and Atlanta Art Week, age 26, hometown, Warner Robins, Georgia. Walker is the young art advisor working to connect Black artists with Black collectors. In 2022, the Warner Robins native filled a massive gap in Georgia's capital with the first ever Atlanta Art Week, which included 4 full days of artist takeovers, exhibition openings, museum tours, and more. Asma Walton, art librarian, founder of the Black Art Library, 28 years old, Detroit is her hometown. Walton is the founder and head librarian of the Black Art Library, an archive of Black art history that she launched in February 2020. What started as a small selection of Holy Grail Black art history text and a popular Instagram account blossomed into a collection of more than 600 books. Formerly trained as an art educator, Walton is working on expanding the library's mission with more exhibitions and many branches throughout the Detroit area. Michaela Bailey, curator, co-executive director of Rhizome at the New Museum, 29 years old, hometown, Los Angeles. From her undergraduate days at UCLA to her early career strides at institutions like Lax Art, MoMA, and the Studio Museum in Harlem, Bailey has been a champion for marginalized histories. As the recently appointed co-executive director for Rhizome, the new museum, affiliated vessel providing infrastructure for working artists, she's establishing a more equitable perspective on how digital culture is discussed and archived, especially for Black and Brown creators. As an extension of her curatorial and anthropological interest, Bailey is developing a major TV comedy alongside artist Aria Dean and curator Hannah Gurma. Yelena Keller, assistant curator, the Studio Museum in Harlem, 28 years old, Oakland is her hometown. In the past 3 years, Keller has spearheaded 3 cohorts of artists. She's currently working with her 4th in the Studio Museum in Harlem's prestigious Artist in Residence program. The program, whose alumni include some of the art world's most notable talents, was founded in 1969 to promote the work of artists from the African diaspora. Under the 22-year leadership of Thelma Golden, Keller is moving the museum's mission into the future by exemplifying care as the central ethos of curatorial work. The next article is titled, Introducing Brian Myers, Meet the Black executive who is making fitness more inclusive. The fitness industry has long been criticized for being too young, too thin, too straight, and too white. No shocker there, right? But considering that the average Black woman wears a size 14 or above, not only is it disappointing not to see ourselves represented in the overall fitness space, but it is also a gross misrepresentation of the general population. Fortunately, one executive is on a mission to change all that from the top down. Brian Myers, as president and CEO of the Pilates-based full body workout training system, Solid Core, he is revising the white, thin, cisgender fitness narrative and making history as one of the nation's few Black LGBTQ+ CEOs spanning every industry. I stepped into the role as both a leader of color and a leader who identifies as LGBT. For me, what it really meant was continuing to open those doors for other underrepresented communities within fitness through representation, Myers says. One doesn't acquire a resume like Myers without a lot of blood, sweat, literally, and tears. The Virginia native has an undeniable talent for growing businesses and for building strong, inclusive communities of clients and employees. Prior to joining the Solid Core teams as COO in 2018, Myers was VP of development for the fast casual salad chain Sweetgreen, helping grow the brand from 20 locations to 90. We still have a long way to go at Solid Core, says Myers. When people congratulate me for the work that we have done, we have more leaders of color than any major fitness brand out there. I'm like, yes, I appreciate it, and we've made great strides, but let's not fool ourselves. We have so much more to do because we are still overwhelmingly white. Despite the work that we've already done, we are still overwhelmingly thin. Despite the work that we have done, we are still overwhelmingly heterosexual. Despite the work that we have done. So it's a journey and it's a process. Unfortunately, making gyms and fitness studios more diverse isn't as simple as hanging a welcome sign on the door. These issues are a part of long-standing inequities that impact almost every corporation in the United States. Prior to taking the role of CEO in April of 2021, Myers led the company's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force, committing to making every member of the community feel respected, supported, motivated, empowered, and engaged. I think one of the challenges that I often feel, rightly or wrongly, is that because I'm in the position that I'm in, I have to single-handedly solve diversity within the entire fitness industry myself, and all within my first 2 years of being a CEO at Solid Core, Myers admits. It is vital to recognize that diversity does not necessarily equate to inclusion and equity. In fitness or any other field, he points out, you can invite people into the room, but if they are not made to feel welcomed, valued, and appreciated, then inclusion and equity can't truly exist. What good is being included within an advertisement if we aren't represented at the employee and leadership tables? The reason that it's called systemic racism is because it is entrenched in the system itself, notes Myers. So we have to change the system, not an individual, right? One individual is a part of the system, but one individual cannot change the whole. I'm the only Black CEO of a major fitness company. I cannot single-handedly change the system. We have to get more of us into these roles so that we can drive systemic change. And I think that's where sometimes people's frustration at the problem that they see gets taken out on the individual, when what we're really talking about is the need to address a larger systemic issue and challenge. Since Solid Core opened its first studio in Washington, D.C. in 2013, it has become one of the fastest growing companies in the fitness sector, with more than 90 locations across 24 states currently and hundreds of thousands of clients, including Michelle Obama. It offers arguably one of the toughest routines you'll ever encounter, a 50-minute intense full-body workout that combines Pilates and strength training to take fitness conditioning to a whole new level. Popularized during an Essence red carpet interview at the 2022 Met Gala, when Lori Harvey famously shared that Pilates was the secret to her toned body, the workout quickly became a TikTok craze among Black women. Myers readily admits that the Harvey interview added more appeal to the fitness brand. When Lori Harvey started talking about Pilates, the Solid Core mentions were off the charts, he says. And so it definitely had a positive effect on our business. I can't quantify exactly how much of an impact it had, but especially for women of color, so many people were like, oh wait, Lori Harvey is talking about Pilates? Okay, that's what I need to do. Bringing the same vigor he had in growing the Sweet Green chain, the 35-year-old University of Virginia graduate is now guiding a fast-paced and aggressive plan for Solid Core's expansion across the country. We will continue to add more studios, but where we really are focusing our energies is on how we make our existing studios even greater, says Myers of the company's current strategy. And so today, when we look at our existing locations, we see that they are performing at roughly 30% higher than they were before the pandemic, he adds. We had a great business before the pandemic, but we've really leveled up our game and how we think about driving deeper penetration of our inclusivity mission and more member engagement. The next article is titled Gentle Parenting. They will then see the possibilities for themselves. By ensuring that young people feel loved and supported, we can heal generations forward and backward, including our village and community, is how we ensure that this healing work is robust, resilient enough for not just our children, but our children's children. The next article is titled Essence Black Women in Hollywood. Salute to the 2023 honorees. For over 15 years, the Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards have been an ode to Black women sprinkling their Black girl magic on the big and small screens alike. In past years, we honored producers, actresses, directors, and more trailblazers, shattering glass ceilings throughout Hollywood. What started as an exclusive luncheon has since become an oasis of sisterhood and a safe space to be fully seen and embraced. Coca-Cola is committed to making us feel seen and has always shown their appreciation to our contribution in Hollywood. For decades, Coca-Cola has made it their goal in standing alongside the Black empowerment movement, supporting the Black community unapologetically. Here at Essence, we have valued our 25-plus year Essence Festival partnership, creating hundreds of memorable experiences, and now we continue to create that impact in Hollywood. This year, we continue to show our appreciation to Black women, paving the way in partnership with Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. The next article is titled, "You Can't Have Public Safety Without Public Participation." The police can't do it alone. To reduce crime in your community, they need your help. So, here's what has to happen. The police should reach out to your community, and your community should reach out to the police. Listen to each other, build partnerships, build trust. This should be happening all across this country. That's how we get to where we all can finally celebrate safe communities, get involved, start the conversation, and help stop crime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance. The next article is from BlackEnterprise.com, and the title of the article is "North Carolina's First Black-Owned Children's Bookstore Set to Open Its Doors for the First Time." A Black-owned staple is planting roots. Liberation Station Bookstore will be opening its physical doors for the first time in the historic heart of downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, this year, WRAL reported. After years of pop-up events, motivated founders and husband and wife duo Victoria Scott Miller and Dwayne Miller now have a home to continue upholding a legacy of literacy. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.